Amen. Amen. Do take your Bible, please. Turn to Luke chapter 22. When the Lord Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry at the age of 30, he chose 12 men to accompany him and to help him in his work. Those men were given the title of apostles. 11 of those men believed in him. They were genuinely saved. And they were sincere in following him. Those 11 men would go on to be the first office bearers in the New Testament church, and have a major role in fulfilling the great commission of the Lord Jesus to preach the gospel in the nations surrounding Jerusalem and Judea. And they would see the establishment of the Christian church throughout many nations before they departed this life and went to heaven to be in the immediate presence of the Lord. However, one of the 12 was neither saved nor sincere. I am referring, of course, to Judas Iscariot. Although he would accompany the Savior and the apostolic band for 3 years, though he was in their company, he mingled and mixed with them and was even put in charge of the money of the Savior and the disciples for the daily provisions. In spite of all those things, his heart was hard. He had no love or interest in Christ, no true love, no saving interest in Christ, but rather was motivated and moved by self-interest. He would go on to betray the Lord into the hands of the religious Jews and the Gentiles for the Savior to be crucified. And he was a child of the devil, the son of perdition, and an ungodly man at heart. There is a lesson for the Church of Christ that we never know who may be mingling and mixing among us, even to have some form or sort of profession. For the disciples knew not that it was Judas who would betray the Savior. Now, Luke chapter 22 brings us to that time when Judas would betray the Lord into the hands of ungodly men. You'll see that in verse 47 and 48. Brings us from the upper room. The Savior left that place. He went to Gethsemane where he prayed and sweat great drops of blood. And while he was there, or as he was leaving Gethsemane, Judas came with the multitude, and it tells us while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And in chapter 22, you have that act of betrayal when Judas betrayed the Savior into the hands of sinners. But in the early part of this chapter, when the preparation for the Passover feast was being made, there is a little phrase recorded about Judas that seems to sum up, to summarize this whole episode. It is that little phrase in verse 4. Tells us he went his way. He left the Savior and the apostles to go his own way and to agree with the religious Jewish leaders to sell the Lord into their hands. He went his way. And in doing so, he abandoned the Savior. He agreed to betray him. He rejected Christ for the last time. And he lost his soul. What a contrast with the Lord Jesus Christ. For in that very upper room where the Passover was observed and partaken, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, in the verse 4, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Jesus went from the upper room, the way of the cross. A denial of self, a laying down of his life, shedding his blood to provide salvation from sin and purchase eternal life for all who would trust in him and receive him. He went the way of the cross and the way of salvation, but Judas, he went his way. Betrayed the Lord. Sinned and rejected the Savior. Lost his soul in hell. My friends, tonight you will either go the way of the cross and follow Christ, or like Judas, you will go your own way. Your own way in sin and lose your soul. Tonight I want to take that little phrase, "He went his way," and I want to emphasize three things from it. Judas going his own way. Judas rejecting the Savior for the final time. Judas losing his soul. That's what it means when it says he went his way. Filled with self, pursued the path that he chose rather than following the Savior. And he rejected Christ for the last time. He lost his soul by going his own way. I put it to you firstly that he went his own way despite the great privileges and opportunities he had received. I want you to think about this man's life. We're told next to nothing about his life prior to becoming an apostle of the Lord. But when Jesus took him into the apostolic group, for 3 to 3.5 years, this man was in close contact with the Lord Jesus and with the other apostles, and what an experience that was. You think about those 3 to 3.5 years, what he saw. Judas saw things that you and I will never see with our own eyes. He saw the miracles. My friends, do not believe the lie of the charismatic movement. God works in mysterious ways, and at times he does things beyond our own comprehension, but the day of miracles has ceased. In the sense that there are no miracle workers, as there was in the days of Jesus Christ and his apostles. In fact, if you study the Bible, and I'm really getting off on a tangent here, I'll say this and then come back onto the line of thought for tonight. You study the Scriptures. I think I'm right in saying this. There's 4 periods of time in the Scriptures. Just 4 little windows where there were miracle workers on this earth. The days of Moses, the days of Elijah and Elisha, the days of Christ and the apostles, and the days just prior to the Savior's return. But Judas witnessed those miracles, the miracles of Christ. He was there when Jesus called Lazarus from the grave. John 11 tells us the Savior was with his disciples, and when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," dressed in those grave clothes, Judas watched as Lazarus walked out of the tomb. In Matthew 14, we're told the disciples were in the boat. Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat, to go across Galilee. He was there when he watched Jesus walk on the water. And when he saw Jesus still the storm. John chapter 6, Judas was among the apostles who would have given the bread out to the 5,000. There were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the Lord just kept multiplying it. And he kept giving it to his disciples. And the disciples kept giving it out to the groups of 50. They were sat down by groups of 50. He gave out the bread, the Savior multiplied. Those are only a few examples of the miracles that he saw with his own eye. And John tells us in his gospel that those miracles proved that Jesus was the Son of God. Nicodemus, before he was saved, he said, "No man can do these miracles except God be with him." Judas saw them with his own eyes. He saw the multitudes coming to Christ and believing in him. One example, John 2 and 23, at the feast of the Passover, the first feast of the Passover, when the Lord Jesus had began his earthly ministry. The many came to the Lord and believed in him. He saw others coming, believing, being transformed, saved by grace, and living the Christian life. He saw the miracle of the gospel in the hearts of men take place. This is what he saw. What did he hear? Not only what he saw, what he heard. His privileges, his opportunities. The enemies of Jesus said, "Never man speak like this man." Judas heard the greatest preacher that ever lived, the greatest prophet and proclaimer of God's word. His word was with authority, not like the scribes. Never man spake like Christ. Judas heard the invitation. When Jesus cried forth with love and compassion and feeling in his heart, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He heard the invitation. And the Savior gave it to all who labor. And Judas was among them. He heard that invitation. He heard the warnings. "Except ye repent, ye shall perish." He was there when Jesus spoke about hell and people being cast out, the children of the kingdom being cast into outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. He heard the warning that the soul that dies rejecting Jesus will perish forever and ever in the place called hell. He heard the warning. He heard the invitation. He heard the pleadings. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. "How oft would I have gathered you," Jesus said, "as a hen doth gather her chicks, and ye would not." He heard the invitation of the gospel, the warning of the gospel, the pleading of the Savior. And what did he experience? He saw the miracles, the multitudes being converted. He heard the preaching of the gospel from the lips of Christ. he experienced spiritual power. I'll not turn to it, but in Matthew 10 and verse 1, he was among the apostolic group that received gifts to cast out demons and to heal the sick. Spiritual gifts are not a sign of grace. There can be those who mimic them or operate in them, and yet they're not saved. And Judas is an example. It's a rarity, it's an exception, but it can happen. He went out with the other apostles on their mission. Among that group who were given that power and authority. And yet, in spite of what he saw, in spite of what he heard, in spite of what he experienced, he went his way and rejected Jesus Christ. Wonder how many in this generation are doing the same. They've had the similar privileges. Brought up in a Christian home. Saw parents live a godly life. Listened to sound evangelical preaching. Sabbath school. Gospel services. Witnessed others coming to Christ. Even being in the house of God when the presence of the Lord is real and near, experienced it. Yet, because of a love of sin, in spite of the opportunities Christ is giving, going our own way, going your own way, down that broad road that leads to hell. If that's you, if I'm describing you this evening, I trust that God will stop you in your tracks. And I trust that you'll follow the Savior to the way of the cross. He went his way despite the great privileges and opportunities he received. But secondly, tonight I want to highlight for you, he went his way because of a love and a lust for the things of this world. In Judas's case, it was primarily money. Look at verse 5. After he went his way, he communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him unto them. And it tells us they were glad and covenanted, promised, entered into an agreement, a binding agreement with him to give him money. The Bible tells us it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Remember a man saying once, every man needs a pound to live, and that is true. But while it isn't money that is evil in itself, the love of money has led to so much evil and sin in society that the Bible says it's the root of all evil. And Judas had an intense, a sinful desire and love for money and wealth in this present world. That he was prepared to betray the Son of God, to reject the Son of God, and to lose his soul. It is Matthew in his Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 15, who tells us how much money was involved. And in that verse we read that it was 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 26 and the verse 15. What will ye give me? Judas asked the question. What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. It was a paltry sum. I say that because in Exodus chapter 21 in the Old Testament and verse 32, we are told that it was merely the price of a servant. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. If another man's ox pushed to death a manservant or a maidservant, the owner of that ox would give the other master 30 shekels of silver. It was merely the price of a servant. And for the price of a servant, a relatively small sum of money, he betrayed the Son of God, and in doing so, he sold his soul. He sealed his eternal destiny in hell for the tiny sum of 30 pieces of silver. Do you remember when the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4? He tempted the Lord to bow down and worship him. The verse isn't on the top of my head, but you'll find it in Matthew chapter 4. Tempting the Lord Jesus, the devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. All the kingdoms of the world and all of the glory of them. And he said this, "All this will I give thee if you fall down and worship me." He offered the Savior the world and the glory of it. And the Savior refused. The devil bought Judas's soul for 30 pieces of silver. In fact, I should rephrase that. Judas sold his soul for the price of a servant. Such a paltry sum. The Lord Jesus said, he asked the question, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And had Judas asked for the world, the power within the world, to govern and rule and reign over the entire world, had he asked for all the wealth of the world, the silver and the gold and the livestock and all the assets of the world, that he would be the richest man in the world and own it all? Had he asked for all the pleasures of the world on top of the wealth and the power, it still was a price. It still was a price not worth paying, and a deal not worth doing. For should he have gained all the world, it isn't worth rejecting Christ for. It isn't worth selling your soul should you be given all the world. And yet he sold his soul for the price of a servant. And I tell you tonight, there are multitudes doing the same. They're selling their soul for their fix at the weekend. Whether it's their drunkenness or their drug trips. They're selling their soul and they're rejecting Jesus to run after the limited wealth that they can achieve in this life. There are those and they are selling their soul for immoral pleasure. There are those and they are selling their soul for the friendship of this world. And I'm saying to you, it's not a price worth paying. Because if you take the world and reject Jesus, in hell and eternity, all the pleasure and power and gain and wealth you can gain in this present world will be of no value, of no gain, of no benefit to you to open up your eyes in hell. And that's what's happening, friends. And that's what will happen if you reject Christ as Judas did. You'll lift up your eyes in hell. And the gain you had in this world will benefit, profit you nothing. It will be meaningless. It will be gone forever. What a tragedy to reject the Savior for the paltry trinkets of this world. Don't go your own way like Judas. But go the way of the cross. Go to Christ. Let Him save your soul. Provide for you. Take your soul to heaven. There's one final thought I want to put with to you tonight. Judas went his own way, despite the great privileges and opportunities he received. Judas went his own way because of a love and lust for the things of this present evil world, primarily a lust for money. Judas went his own way to eternal shame and sorrow. You see, he lost his soul. And his soul perished in hell. Matthew 27 records the tragic event, and it came much sooner for Judas than he ever anticipated and thought when he was selling the Savior to the chief priests and to the captains. He had no thought that within a short time his soul would be in eternity. He was thinking perhaps what he could do with the sum of money, how he would further himself in this world or whatever. But once he committed that filthy deed, was filled with shame, filled with regret. It tells us in Matthew 27, verse 3, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself." He didn't repent toward God. He simply felt remorseful, filled with shame for what he had done within his own soul. But he didn't repent toward God. He brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us?" People think the world's their friend. The ungodly ways and ungodly individuals are their friends, just as Judas did. But all the ungodly men wanted Judas for was to use him. Once they'd finished with him, they cast him to the side. Nothing to do with us. Don't bring your concerns or your feelings to us. We're not interested. We've got what we want. That was their attitude. And I tell you, that's what sinners do to individuals. They use them for their own sinful ends. And then they leave them to perish alone. Such was his shame that he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. He went out and he took his own life. And the Bible says in Acts 1 and 25, he went to his own place. My friends, that place was hell. Not only did he go to an eternity hell, where he'd pay the debt and the price for his sin, but he went there with shame. The man who is remembered for all eternity is the man who betrayed, rejected the Son of God. To finally, fully reject Christ will bring to every soul that does it eternal shame, sorrow, and suffering in a place the Bible calls hell. Tonight we present Judas to you as a warning. A warning to flee from such ways. A warning to accept the privileges and opportunities that God has given to you. To flee to Him, to call upon Him, to embrace Him while it is yet the day of grace and opportunity, that you might not follow the example of this sinful man, reject the Savior, your soul be lost. May the Lord write these thoughts and this message upon our hearts. And if there's any in this meeting, young or old, and you're not a Christian, yet tonight you're numbered as Judas was, you're numbered among the people of God. I trust if there's any among us in such a case, that you will receive Christ as He is freely offered in the gospel and be fully persuaded to embrace Him and that sincerely.